It's a lot going on within the body of Christ, and I believe that these are challenging times. These are troubled times, but at the same time, God is giving us the answers to the questions that we would ask. And what I've been, I'm going to tell you what really changed me, those teachings and the insight that God has given me on providence, to really understand the providence of God. I'm not going to preach on it today, but it has really, really, it is impacting me. It is helping me to be more patient, to be at a place where I'm willing to wait on God and not rush ahead of Him, to understand the providence of God. God's providence meaning God's protective care of us as well as nature, His power as it is displayed among us, how we at a place of understanding destiny, God's will, divine intervention, how God intervenes on behalf of all of us and on our behalf. And this is His nature, how He has foresight, His forethought. God is looking ahead of all things, and He's looking into the future as to what is yet to happen, and He is in charge of all the events that are occurring, and He still has the privilege of intervening when things are happening a particular way so that it moves towards what He inevitably wants to see occur. So we've been teaching on the goodness of God, or the origin of goodness. This is part 13 of these teachings now, part 13. And I don't know how far we're going to go into this. If we go a year, it's still okay with me, because God is helping me to understand some things. And I trust that you're getting what God is saying through these messages, because I believe that this is really helping to lay a foundation within our lives so that we can see where God is in all things. As I was driving in, coming here today, I was looking at how God pays attention to details, small things, how He pays attention to small things. He would be in a place, I think we get in too big of a hurry. We rush through life. We're rushing towards trying to get something accomplished, and we miss out on those finer things that are right before us. I was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ talking about something as small and supposedly insignificant as flowers and trees. He talks about birds of the air. I mean, who would think that a great God, a God who created all that is created, would pay attention to a bird, a lily of the field? He would talk about your hairs on your head are numbered. This is how detailed God is. The ant, consider the ant, you sluggard. Something as insignificant, supposedly, as an ant, God pays minute detail to small things. And in those small things, we come to the place of understanding how profound His word is and how powerful He is in the area of providence, that God has oversight of everything that occurs within life, everything that is happening and everything that is happening. And none of those things are just happenstance, but they have significance. They have significance. When something happens, when the wind blows, there's a reason for the wind blowing in the direction that it's blowing. When we begin to see a tree falling, there's a reason for that tree to fall. Anything that occurs within life, it has significance that's oftentimes overlooked, most of the time, overlooked by us, because we don't see the things that God is in fact seeing. So this afternoon, I'm going to use as a subtitle of this particular message, The Goodness of Light Opposed to Shadows. I didn't just talk about darkness, but we realize the contrast that is made when light and darkness, when they collide, it has the tendency of casting a shadow. And we're going to talk about that today. There are many scriptures that come to mind, I'm sure, to you and certainly to me, in relation to shadows. But one scripture in particular that we are going to use as, I believe, as a theme or as a scripture to pretty much as a point of departure here is 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, which is very familiar, where it says, listen to these words, this is the message which we have heard from him. We have heard from him and declare to you. Now listen to the dynamic. This is what we have heard from the Lord. This is what we have received from the Lord. And that which we have received from the Lord, we mentioned God looks at everything. He made all things, and he pays attention to every detail of his creation. And this is what we have heard from him, and therefore, as a result of it, and I'm praying this now, Lord, what portion of what I've heard would you want me to declare? That's usually the case that I'm facing now, is that what portion of what you have shown me do you want to be declared today? Because I want the message to be significant as to what is going on around us. So many things going on, so many things happening, and so many things God is involved in, but what portion does God want to show us right here and now? So this is a declaration. Here's what he's saying to us, that God is light. God is light. God is light. It doesn't say God gives light. It says God is light. Now, we're going to help you to understand this as we continue in the teaching, to understand God in a new way, in a way that describes him as being light. God is light. And then it says, contained within him. In him is no darkness at all. So, in other words, in him there is no casting shadows. There are no shadows. There is no darkness for shadows to be cast. Because he is absolute light. God is absolute light. And since he is absolute light, we don't understand what absolute light is. Absolute light is it's too overwhelming for any individual to focus their attention upon absolute light, because it would be overwhelming. That's why it says no man can see God as he is in his completeness and live. Because he is absolute light, brighter than the sun, brighter than anything that produces light. God is light. And in him, there is no casting shadows. There is no darkness at all. Now, let's go into this and understand what God is helping us to understand concerning himself. Available to man, this is what God is doing with humanity. He has given us something that I consider to be a gift that only humanity possesses. Out of all of his creation, only man possesses the ability to reason. Only you have the ability to reason. I hope you're taking notes on this. He has given us the ability to reason. When we speak of reasoning, it is taking in to account all kind of information and then being at a place where you can begin to arrange it in such a way to arrive at a conclusion and begin to resolve problems and issues that occur within life. God has given man the ability to reason. His reasonableness enabled him in creation, because look what God did. God created. You remember the story? God created when he made certain things after man had been made out of the dust of the ground. God would create something, and he would place it before man, and he would say to him, now you name it. What he was really saying to man, you describe it. You began to give me or speak of what this thing means and what describe its nature. So the description of the characteristics of things designed by God, man was able to participate with God as a result of his ability to reason, his reasonableness. And then we begin to look at that. He says, now I want you to reuse your reasoning, use the ability to reason in a constructive way. I want you to use it in such a way that it can become even all the more beneficial to everything that I had, in fact, created. He said, because he told man, he says, I want you to be fruitful. What else? Multiply. What else? Replenish the earth. But here's the other part. And what? And subdue it. Now, that's the part I want you to pay attention to. When he says, I want you to subdue the earth, he says, now through your reasons, through your reasonableness, your ability to reason, I'm giving you the assignment to subdue the whole earth. And you can subdue the whole earth by, first of all, as Adam was able to name those things that were created and describe their characteristics or the attributes contained within them. He says, now, when you subdue the whole earth, not just the animal kingdom, but the whole earth, then you will be engaged in scientific discoveries. You will be engaged in scientific discoveries. There will be things that you will discover contained within my creation that was always there, but I will allow you the opportunity to see it and to describe it and to use it in such a way that it will become beneficial to all. So we see scientific discoveries. We begin to see the study and the function, and not only that, and the interrelatedness of all things, because I'm going to show you how one thing affects another, and then another, and another. You see what science does? It is discovery of what God already knows. Don't think that science is above God, but it is subjected. It is subject to God, because we are discovering. Scientists are discovering what God always knew, because God made all things, so he understands the nature of all things. Now, it is within nature. It is in the nature of man. Not only did he just place man this way, he placed it within your nature. That's why he said man was made in the image of God. He was made after his own likeness to be creative and to dominate the environment. That's what he says. I want you to take dominion over all of my creation. I want you to have the oversight and control of everything that has created. So now we begin to see man in the usage of his creativity. We begin to see humanity and the reason, the mind of man in motion. Because what came out of man, let's look at all the things that have come as a result of his imagination. We begin to see man imagining houses, cultivating land. We begin to see skyscrapers. We see cars. Who would know to tame a horse, to ride him? But now it's more than that. They call the engine, it said it has horsepower. Trains and planes. But now we're looking at jets and rockets, It's so many things. We can go on and on concerning the discoveries of man, pardon me, as a result of his creativity. And understand, that's within man now. In other words, that's how you were made. You were made to be creative. You were made to be able to reason and to come up with ideas that that no animal can come up with. You don't see an animal building something so detailed as the things that man can, in fact, build. But understand, this is a creativity within man. I would venture to say that it's God's grace. God has graced humanity to take what he knows to transform his environment. He says, you take what you have known so you don't have to accept things as they are, but you have the ability to change things that exist around you. But I was thinking about that, and I said, if man has that much knowledge, that man can do all of these things, and we see them manifesting all around us, and oftentimes we call this the age of man, and people are just awed at the creativity of humanity, of human beings. But my question is, if man can come up with that much, how much more must God really know? How much more must God know? If he let me in on this much, how much more must he have knowledge of? Instead of replacing God with humanism, it ought to challenge us to worship God all the more, because it brings us to the place of realizing that God is much greater than anything that we could ever come up with in our own minds. So we see, so now what God does, this is what God does. We know his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As higher than the heavens are his thoughts and our thoughts, and his ways from our ways. And we see how it talks about how the rain comes down, descends upon the earth, so you see how God does when it comes to how he functions. But here's the invitation. Before I get to that, you have to understand what God does. He reveals things to us. He still doesn't reveal everything to us. He shows us just enough, because the Bible says the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us, but not only to us, but to our children. But then he gives us an invitation. This is the part I want to get to. He gives us an invitation. God, who knows all things, man, who knows some things, because God allows man to know within time certain things. But then he gives us an invitation here in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. He says, come now, let us reason together. The reasonableness of God, the mind of God, the creator of all things, invites us to reason with him. Come now. That's an invitation. Come. Come. Listen to this word. Come now. He has said, don't stay at your level. Don't relax at the stage that you settled in. You think you know something, but you know nothing as you ought to know it. There's still more to be discovered, but you can't discover it if you stay in the current state that you're in. So he invites us, and he says, come. That word come is very potent, because we hear Jesus use it so oftentimes. So he says, come to me, all ye who are laboring and a heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, come to me, come to me. But you will not come to me. He invites us in. He gives us the opportunity to participate with him in what he is doing. So he says, so come now. He didn't say come sooner or later. Come right now. I'll get around to it. No, come right now. And let us reason together. Let us put our minds together so that we can arrive at some conclusions that you otherwise would not have arrived at unless you were in fellowship with me. So come now, let us reason together. Let us reason together, says the Lord. And then he brings us to understand that our reasoning is short-sighted, that we're prone to be short-sighted. Short-sightedness is something that is a part of our human psyche. He is saying that your reasoning did not include all of the particulars, all of the things that ought to be included in the process of reasoning. He says, now what he says, see, you're looking at what you can produce, what can be reduced out of you or produced by you. But God is saying, I'm concerned about what is being constructed and produced within you. God is saying that I'm not just building skyscrapers. I'm not just building houses and cars and land and cultivating land and those things that oftentimes are the limits of humanity, because now we're dealing with the exterior of life. But God says, I'm concerned about the interior inside of you. My reasoning is comprehensive. I want us to reason and taking all things into account, because when I reason with you, I'm understanding. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, but I'll let you in on what I'm thinking so that you can begin to see life differently. You can begin to process things differently. He says, so what I'm dealing with, first of all, see, you're looking at what you can produce, but I'm looking at what is happening within you as a result of your ability to reason, and now you are at a place where you want to deify your mind. You think somehow, because you're able to reason, that your mind has become God. You know, people talk about it today, that mind is God, and we enter into God through the mind. And I would say, you've missed it. Our peanut brains are too small to be at a place where we can think that God can be restricted or reduced to a thought that actually comes from a human being. He says, your sins. How did you sin? Reasoning. Your sins are like scarlet. Your sins are like scarlet, but they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So he begins to deal with the interior. He says, your sin is the problem. Your sin, you see, your reasoning has led you to sin. Now, we know that's true, because what happens? That's what the enemy tempted Eve with. He says, now I want you to reason about this thing. He says, the day you eat of the forbidden, you shall surely die. Now watch the introduction to new information. No, or new idea, new thought. No, you're not going to really die. You see, new thought now. You know what I'm saying? New thoughts, new ideas, not the original, but being introduced into the situation. And they got a whole new ideology and philosophy called new thought. You got to watch it now. Because if it's new to you and not new to God, it's wrong thoughts. I'm going to leave that alone, because y'all think I'm picking on somebody. But listen to what he's saying here. He says, you shall surely die, but you'll be as God is, knowing both good and evil. So her reasoning was as such. It looks good. It smelled good. And now that I've eaten of it, it tastes good. So apparently, it is good. So her reasoning led her to believe that the forbidden of God was reasonable to participate in or partake of. You see, that's reasoning. Reasoning, it makes sense to us. It makes sense. I mean, who's to tell me what to do with my own body? It doesn't make sense to me that someone would tell me what to do with my body? Who's to tell me that I'm not to partake of that or participate in this particular thing? My reasoning, the suggestions that come from the outside of God, brings individuals to a place of reasoning apart from Him. Come, let us come now. Let us reason together, but don't start reasoning with the enemies. Then Peter began to help us to understand something of reasoning. I'm going to hold that point for a moment because I got some other things to say about that, about the enemy. But Peter began to help us in the reasoning because he says that your reasoning must be progressive. It has to get beyond your current state of reasoning because you'll come up with an excuse not to do what God would have you to do. That's your reasoning. Do you see what I'm saying? Your reasoning, based upon what you have come to know at this particular point in your life, will provide for you an excuse to opt out of participating in that which God has assigned. But yet, since it's sensible to you, it's easy to make that, to arrive at that conclusion. That's a part of the enemy's ploy. But Peter helped us out in this particular thing to let us know that our reasoning must be progressive. As we reason together with Him, then we progress. Our thought lives begin to evolve. You see, we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. God shows us more and more and more of what He desires for us to know. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 said, but also for this very reason. Are you seeing the word? For this very reason. Now, you got to go back and look up what the reason was. But for this very reason, giving all diligence, adding to your faith. Add to your faith. Because now don't stop at that level of faith in what you have faith in, but add to that faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. He said, now what happens as you begin to add to, as you begin to progress in, that's what's happening now. Whatever you thought yesterday, God extends that. He expands upon that. What I taught last week, God expands upon that. Because if you thought you mastered it because you heard last week's message, you see, now you have another thought coming. Another thought coming. Did you hear the word? Another thought coming. He brings another idea, but it is an expansion of the original. Of what you had known. He takes us beyond our level of comprehension, so we begin to see more and more. He says, so add to it. But if you do these things, if these things are yours and abound, you will never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. But then he says, look at the other side. For he who lacks these things, what? He is short-sighted. Why is he short-sighted? Because he stopped halfway before he arrived at the destination. He stopped in the middle of the road, and then he's even to blindness. And what happens, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. We mentioned sin has to do with reasoning. So now we see a person who has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins. So if he has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins, he will find himself engaging in the very sins that he had once been cleansed of. You see, what happens? The person goes backwards rather than forward. Why? Because he did not progress in wisdom and knowledge. So it has to be, that's why church is so important. That's why hearing the word is so important, because the knowledge of Christ is progressive. It is progressive. You don't just say what you said and that be the end of it, but it is progressive. He is adding some things to it. And understand, I think I read, even Paul, for one, here he's about to be executed. He's about to die. But yet he wanted the scrolls. He wanted his books to be with him. He still wanted to learn some things, because he wasn't just learning for what he was to know within time, but he was learning, knowing that when he entered into eternity, that the knowledge that he was attaining was transferable. So now, every experience in life, you see, because we understand what God is doing, he is bringing us a place where we see of his goodness and grace. His goodness and grace. I want to talk about that for a moment. We see God's goodness, but we see him displaying his goodness by gracing us. The blessings of God, adding to. He graces us to grow. He graces us. But then that's the goodness of his grace. But then the objective is to establish within us his righteousness and holiness. So I begin to look at that. That's his objective. He's leading many sons to glory. He's leading many sons to glory. What is glory? When we are able to reflect the very character of Christ, when we become as he is. So I begin to look at it this way, and this is what God gave me. He said that every experience, now listen to this, every experience in life is another page in his playbook. As he orchestrates every move, that's what God is doing. Every move. We see just people playing chess, but every experience, the negative, the good, the bad, and the ugly, every experience. That's why I love this message of providence. Every experience in life is just another page in his playbook. In other words, God knew that this thing would happen, but it would move us closer to checkmate. And he orchestrates every move, always knowing what is best for us. His provisions are provided. He provides for us. But his goal is perfection. His goal is perfection. He is moving us. But in his heart and mind, he says, I'm bringing you to the place of perfection. Now, we don't know what perfection is. Perfect. I will that you be perfect. You're not perfect in this life, but I'm moving you towards perfection. So the purpose of his blessings, and this is where people miss it, we said the quality of mind, the access to things and ideas and even the management of things, it's all to draw us to himself. It's through his loving kindness. He says, through loving kindness, I have drawn you. He draws us, his loving kindness, and he draws us with cards of love, that he may teach us. Now, this is a part that some people turn off, that he may teach us and correct us so that his grace can be rightly applied. Because we don't know what to do with, you see, when we add to the faith, he is teaching us how to apply the grace. What did he grace us for? How is this grace to be applied? What are these tools and instruments that's in my hands to be, how did it be used? You see, God would begin to make those things known to us. Now, there's limits to man's ability to resolve all his problems. Therefore, he brings us a place where we're committed. We have to be constantly tied to him. We cannot operate apart from him. Now, we look at the shadows. This is the part I wanted to get to, the shadows that shroud human reasoning. What are some of the shadows that shroud human reasoning? And there are shadows. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. There are no shadows, you see. And then the Bible says, I like this in James chapter 1, verse 17. It says that we see the gifts, the grace of God, every good. Now, look at the qualification. Every what? Good. If it's good. And then it goes on to say, and every perfect gift. Now, don't try to divide those and say, well, this is good, but this one is perfect. No, good and perfect. Every good and perfect, the same gift, has to be good and perfect. Perfect to perfect us. It has to be a gift that is used in such a way to help us to participate with God in what he is doing. So every good and perfect gift. Now, a gift misused or misapplied, it might have been good from its beginning, but now the blessing becomes a curse. Now, you understand how that can happen. You bless a person prematurely before their posture to manage what God has placed within their hands. They will use what they have been given against God. But every good and perfect gift comes down, comes from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation. There's no fluctuation taking place with him, or shadow of turning. There's no shadow of turning. God, the immutability, this word immutability, God is unchangeable. God is changeless. I am the Lord thy God. I do not change. He said there is no, he is light, absolute light. There's no shadow of turning. And he says of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Listen to this, by the word of truth. Don't separate them either. The word is truth. So the word of truth, he brought us forth. Why? That we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, I'm going to have to move on for the sake of time, but look at what he's talking about now. He is helping us to tap into the mystery. Oh, I wish we could really see this. Into the mysteries of God, where nothing hidden that should not be. You see, the things that are hidden for us, because God says that the secret things belong to him, things that are revealed belong to us and our children. And then he says that to his children, he talks about his children, where he talks about, I'm glad I've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but I have revealed them unto babes. So nothing hidden that should not be revealed. But understand, it's under the covering of God for protection, because he does not allow a man who thinks himself to be wise in himself to have access to that which God has reserved for his own. You still with me? He holds it. But the difference now is that we're talking about, that's our God hides. But then the devil has a way of cloaking things too. He hides it under the cloak of darkness, under the guise of deceit, so that now it is really smoking mirrors. It appears to be one thing, but it's not what it appears to be. You see, he hides those things in Christ for our glory, the hope of glory, but the devil hides those things so that you'll never see or know the truth. So we see the goodness of creation as it manifests and contributes to the whole of creation. And then he says that I'll give you that portion. Let's look at this thing of light. I just want you to see this. The part that's given to us, he brings us onto an adventure. Adventure. This is the adventure of life. Every day we're discovering new things that God has for those who trust him and love him. The adventure. Now, I'm going to have to go into this in depth because I'm looking at my time and I'm tapping into something that's going to be very key. We see the adventure. Every day being an adventure, the light that comes from the Father of lights has been given. Listen to why he's a father. To guide us to a deeper and a greater understanding of his nature. Not just nature itself, but his nature. It leads us down the path of righteousness, thus bringing us to a high level of maturity. Now we're growing. We're maturing. And here's this thing. He brings all things into their proper alignment. Now, for him to bring things into alignment, it suggests the fact that things are not in alignment. But he brings everything into proper order. He brings things in proper alignment. That's what redemption is all about. The message of redemption through Jesus Christ. That's why you're saved. You're reconciled. You see those words? You're being reconciled to Christ. What is he doing? He is bringing all things. He has to bring you in first. And then the objective is ultimately to bring all things to the place of being reconciled. You see, you being reconciled, but then he gives us the ministry of reconciliation, so that as a result of that being our ministry, we're helping others to be reconciled. But then all things are to be reconciled in Christ. All creation is waiting on the manifestation, or waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, so that all things are to be reconciled. You see, that you see, they're held in subjection now, but he brings them into subjection because what was his assignment to believers? To subdue the earth and to bring all things under the lordship, under his lordship and under his rule. He says, I'm waiting. I will hold things in subjection so that they won't work the way they're supposed to work until I get you right. You see, I'm not going to let it work rightly until I get you functioning rightly. So what are we saying in essence is that he arrests the elements of nature. And all of those things, he holds things back, he said, while I get my man in order, because he is to be fruitful, he is to multiply, he is to replenish the earth, and he is to subdue it. So we're going to talk about, and I'm closing now, I want you to see this whole thing of, and I can't get into it now, but even light. I want you to see how light can be, it can be a false light. It can be a false light. That's what Lucifer is all about. You see, Lucifer is he's considered the star of the morning, the light bearer. All of these things we'll talk about later on because I'm running out of time. I'm out of time now. But to understand the function and how the enemy manipulates things in order to get people to a place of accepting its light rather than the light of the glory of God. So the light comes from the Father of lights. The light comes from the Father. When he said he's the Father of lights, he is the originator. God is light. He is the originator of lights. He is the light. Jesus said, even concerning himself, he said, to show you that he is God, he says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. In other words, the light to the world is contained within me. The only light that can enlighten the world is contained within Jesus exclusively. But then when we receive him, he says, you are the lights unto the world. I will place the light that I am inside of you. That's why it says Christ in you, the hope of glory. The light in you, you become light to the world, a light to the world. And you don't take light and hide it under a bushel. But where do you put the light? You put it high so that the world may see that light. That's what God is wanting to do. So as we begin to see, I'm headed somewhere with this message. And I wish we had those times like in Bible times where you could just stay hours and hours of time and just get it all. But here's what happens here. He is saying to us, the world is in the condition that it currently is in because God is saying, I'm wanting for the light that is in you who are saved to shine brightly so that the world that's walking in darkness. And that's where worldliness is. That's where people who sin, we mentioned already, they sin as a result of reasoning. Their rationale did not take them far enough or deep enough to see truth. But now, how will they know the truth? Me and you, lights of the world, so that as a result of us, for our being who God has called us to be and using that which God has graced us to use, we will make a distinction and we can make a difference in a darkened world. So, Father, we thank you for all that you're helping us to see and know and to understand concerning your nature and the nature of your Son and the new nature that's ours as a result of receiving your Son. So, therefore, our coming to you is not for selfish gain. We're not just saved in order to receive the benefits of our salvation as it applies to us. But we are saved so that as being beneficiaries, others can come to the light. Then, Lord, there can be a release from the bondage that the world is currently subjected to. So thank you, Lord, that this message is reaching somebody, because you said your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish the thing that you set it out to accomplish. That's why we're pleading that individuals be reconciled to Christ, that they come to know you for who you are and not stop at any level as they would lean to their own understanding. But in all they're getting, may they get the understanding that you desire for each and every one to receive. Oh, yes, the wisdom that comes from above, that comes down from the Father of lights, is the wisdom, Lord, that we're receiving right here and right now. So, Lord, now show us how to apply it. Show us how it's to be rightly used, so that we, too, would not frustrate your grace. First of all, cherishing it, because understand your gift makes room for you. And then, Lord, asking you to teach us and guiding us in your ways so that all that you've given us can be rightly applied. So we give you the honor, we give you the glory, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.